Did anybody bring a carbuncle with them this evening? Nobody. Nobody has their carbuncles. Nobody has any jewelry or ring or watch, anything with carbuncle on it. Does anybody even know what a carbuncle is? No geologists here tonight. God knows what a carbuncle is. It's one of an infinite number of details of God's love poured out over the course of salvation history. This whole course of salvation history that we've recounted from the very beginning until now. And all of those details, which none of us can number, make up this great saga of humanity, created by God in perfect love, and yet still able to turn away from Him. And in the midst of that, we have a God who is still able to turn back to us. And not just each one of us as a collective body, not just us as the church, not just us as His people, but you and me. And that's the great saga of our lives. It's the great story of each one of us whose life is made up of an infinite number of details of God's love. And as we hear these promises echoed throughout the Old Testament and then confirmed and brought to life in the New, we know that God is completely and utterly invested. And He has been since the beginning. And there's nothing that we can do that can keep Him from being invested in each one of us. And yet each one of us assuredly has aspects of our life, or at least will have aspects of our life, where we can wonder or ponder or doubt, is God really invested in me? And yet, if we look at all of these personages from the Old Testament, if we think of Adam and Eve and what happens to their sons, if we think of Abraham and Isaac and all the patriarchs and the struggles they underwent, if we think of Moses, who dies before he even crosses the Jordan and gets into Cana, it could be easy to say that, well, you see, in their cases, just like in my case, God stopped being invested at some point. And yet, we know that Christ enters into this world and redeems it precisely because of those moments when this world, which is wounded and broken by our sinfulness, causes us to think, maybe God's not invested in me. And we go forward, as St. Paul talks about in this beautiful letter, with that hope that in His love for me, He will be with me in those trials. He enters into my life because of the trials and the sufferings that I bear, and He is victorious over even those. Ultimately, at the end of time, as He brings us into His company in eternity. And our lives might pan out like some of those in the Old Testament, some of those in the New, or some of those that we know in our own life, where we might have that struggle. But our hope is in the fact that Jesus of Nazareth, the one whom we seek in our doubts, the crucified, has been raised. He's no longer bound by this earth, by this world, by the sufferings that are in it. And that victory that He has over it is for each one of us. And that victory that He has over it is for each one of us to accept, to embrace, and to share. And tonight, as we enter into the mystery of our own baptism, as we welcome three young ladies into the church by their baptism, we recall that he's configured us to that hope through our baptism that unites us to his death, but not only to his death. We have a share in his resurrection.